This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Good Friday morning to you. What is up, New York City and across the country on CBS Sports Network? It is the Boomer and Geo program coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio. The boys are off extended holiday weekend as we have reached July, which is bizarre. July 1st, the 35th anniversary of this radio station, and we will get into that in a little while as well. Myself, Sal Licata, with you until 10 o'clock. And it's so funny because when you get set to do these shows, you think, boy, oh boy, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? And this is one of those days, there's nothing to talk about. And so I guess for the next 4 hours, Sal and I will have to figure it out, navigate our way through. Sal Licata, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jerry. I couldn't wait to get in today.
Shut up,
this is
Sal.
One of those I wish I was on last night, the overnight. I couldn't wait. I had to get a nice little night of sleep, but it'll be worth the wait today. So we have plenty to get into.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course
the Yankees,
you do.
Oh, the Mets, that three-game losing streak. What are we doing?
And I remember you specifically saying one morning when I saw you in the newsroom, oh, I had to turn you off. Why is that? You're bashing the Nets. And now you know why, because I can't stand KD and Kyrie, those two losers that ruined a franchise that was doing things the right way. They handed over the keys to the superstars, and this is what you get.
Yeah. You have a Boomer? Any reaction from Boomer?
Oh, man. I mean, Jeff, this is a...
Yes.
This is as disastrous...
It's bad. This is bad.
Embarrassing as a... Now, if they were really a New York team, it'd be even worse. Imagine that. But this is just a disgrace for the Nets. LOL Nets.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jared, because I know you are.
Here's my positive spin. Boomer and Gio aren't here. Yes, because this would be a really difficult morning to get through, because for the last, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is, Boomer has destroyed the Nets, and understandably so. Yeah, and I get it. Let me say this. I am, the Kyrie thing is bizarre on every level. I've sat here and killed him, and I have backed him in different ways. And it's like every time I watch him or listen to him on a podcast, I'm like, that's not the guy that is so strange, bizarre, and has weird requests and is a pain in the ass. And then he becomes a pain in the ass. Where I'm really disappointed is in Durant, because I thought he was different. I thought part of him coming to Brooklyn, because he could have gone to a lot of different places, as you know. I really thought him coming to Brooklyn was, you know what? I won in Golden State, but it wasn't good enough for everybody because I joined a championship team already. Brooklyn's never won. The Nets have never won. If I can go there and win, and I really thought he signed the 4-year extension. I thought he was here for the long haul. I thought he was different. I didn't think he was going to be
one of these guys.
Oh, but what changed?
The fact that the owners didn't want to make a commitment to the crazy guy, Kyrie.
But they did. They offered him 2 years fully guaranteed and then a couple of years on the back end that he had to play. That's not making a commitment. It is to me.
Look, they wanted more control. Look, the first reason he chose Brooklyn was because he wanted to live in New York. Both him and Kyrie want to live in New York, but they look at the Knicks and say, well, I don't want to go there. Do you want to go there? No, I don't want to go there. So, hey, there's a second option. Let's go to Brooklyn. That's how they end up in Brooklyn. And then they don't even want that. They can't handle that. Kyrie wants to do him, and that's fine, whatever. You don't want to play basketball, you want to make a priority, that's fine, you do you. But there are going to be repercussions from that. So what team, what owner in his right mind would extend long-term to Kyrie Irving? That's number one. And then Durant's thinking, well, if there's issues here, let me go somewhere else. Because he's soft. He ran from Oklahoma City to go join the Warriors to win a championship, easy championships. And then he wanted to team up with his buddy Kyrie because he wanted to live in New York City and enjoy and take advantage of everything that that has to offer. And now when things are going wrong, or maybe there's some doubt about the future, he bolts. And where's he looking to go, Jer? Oh, the Suns. Shocking. I wonder why. Oh, the Heat. Wow. Shocking. I wonder why. Again, the easy way out for a soft superstar in Kevin Durant.
Which comes back to my point. That's not what this was. This was the Nets. This wasn't a championship-ready team. He may say what you want, Phoenix, wherever he goes. We'll figure that out, and we'll talk about that throughout the course of the morning. Wherever he goes, he elevates his team immediately into the top 4 or 5 in the conference, no matter where he goes. I mean, would you argue with that? Say what you forget about all the other stuff.
You're right.
He is unbelievable.
Wherever he goes, regardless of talent around him, they could be a championship team.
100%. I mean, at least they're in the conversation if he is on that team. And that's why, to me, the whole Kyrie thing, you kind of figure when he opted in, my thought was one of two things is going to happen. You're going to get maybe you trade him. I didn't think you could, but maybe you trade him. All right, you set that aside. You have him on a one-year deal. He had to come out and play if he wanted that next four. You see the money these guys are getting.
Right.
So if he wanted that, he's got to be a good soldier, a good citizen, do the right thing, play a lot of games.
Go win a championship.
Win a championship, go deep in the playoffs, but prove that, he's not that guy that we thought he was. And instead, you get this. I get home yesterday.
I saw your tweet. This is great.
Well, I couldn't believe it. So everything's
was
fine yesterday.
I was on cloud 9 when I found out.
I know you are. So I legit thought that the Nets have work to do, but you're going to get, I really thought you get the best version of Kyrie for 1 year before he's gone. And I really thought he's gone after next year. But I thought 22-23, you're going to get a great season. I also thought the Nets would do something somewhere, somehow, to add to this team as well. Plus, Joe Harris is coming back. So there were things that you liked about them for the 22-23 season. So I go home yesterday. Everything's great. Go right to get my hair cut. Everything's fantastic. Make one stop at the store. I go home. I lay down around. I get, because I didn't sleep much the night before because of baseball. So I guess it was around 12:45, 1 o'clock. I knew we had the Carton and Roberts comedy show last night, which, by the way, was awesome. And Aaron Berg, who opened it, if you don't know this guy, hilarious. So it was a really good time. Anyway, I take about a 3-hour nap, maybe a little bit less than that, 2:45. I don't even check my phone. Take a shower, get dressed. I look at my phone, and the first thing I see is some guy laughing at me.
Yes.
Like, the emoji laughing.
Yeah, I know.
And it was, I wonder what Jerry's going to have to say about Durant now. I'm like, what did he do now? And I'm thinking, did he do something stupid?
Right.
Not thinking he has to be traded. So immediately I just Google Kevin Durant and I see it. I'm like, my jaw was, what? Huh? And, not him.
And don't you think that, and you're right, Net fans and apologists for KD forever. I wonder how they feel right now. We're all KD, could do no wrong, and that's their guy. And I get it. But this is why, Jared, to me, it's forget about even the individuals. And you can question Kyrie, certainly. KD, you cannot. If he wants to go to your franchise, you take him. However, I always, and I've stood by this my entire life, like I never was a believer in letting the players, I don't care if it's LeBron James, doesn't matter to me. You can, I'll deal with it without him. You don't want to come here, that's fine. But I run things the way that I run things as an organization. Pat Riley does it better than anybody else.
Yeah.
He does it. He'll get the superstar player, but he's not letting them take control of the organization the way the Nets did with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Whether it's firing the coach, whether it's trading certain players, whether it's just giving them the keys to the kingdom to do whatever the hell they want to, because now look at what they did. They're ruining the franchise because KD wants out. It's ridiculous. You can't. It's a bottom line principle. If you are an owner, and I hope Joe Sinow learned from this and would never do something as stupid as this again, as appealing as it may be, as tempting as it may be, resist the temptation. You cannot, under any circumstance, let the players run your organization.
Well, that's another conversation, but the problem with what you're saying is, did you see some of these deals yesterday?
Yeah, I get it.
Did you see what Nikola Jokic got?
Yeah, what, $250 million or whatever?
$260.
Yeah, okay, right.
He's going to make $62 million in his last year.
Right.
I mean, the money is ridiculous, and you're getting to a point where they make so much. They are the franchise. And I agree with you. I hate it. I don't like it. All of that is true. Unfortunately, they're partners, Sal. These guys aren't just players anymore.
But it is a little different, isn't it, Jared, when you let, oh, yeah, you want to come in? Oh, sure, please.
I agree.
You sell yourself out. Like, you know what? You beg and plead and try to get him here. And the Nets had something going, Jared.
I know they did.
I like the Nets with Atkinson and Jared Allen and Karen LeVert.
All right, so hold on with that. So first of all, Atkinson, and they will tell you, Boomer and Gio will tell you, I had enough of him prior to them firing him because, to me, he took it to a certain point. I had no problem with making the move. The problem was the next move they made. But that having been said, Zoo, can you do me a favor? Zoo, I know Courtney's in there. Give me 1 second. Can you give me, I'm going to take you back to January, what was the date? January 13th, 2021. Does that date ring a bell for you?
No.
That is the day that the Nets acquired who?
Harden.
James Harden. Boomer and, Carton and Roberts called me. So I think Craig thought I was going to be, very excited. I'm going to play you two clips.
Okay.
To your point, which you just said. Give me the first one, and then I'll call for the second one. Okay, this is me with Carton and Roberts right after the Nets acquired James Harden. Jerry, what's up, buddy?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
How happy are you? Honestly, you just got James Harden. Aren't you pumped?
No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all. Because you know what? This was a likable team. Kyrie's gone. I love Durant. I like this team. They're gone. Three first-round draft picks, gone.
Four.
Jared Allen, gone. Caris LeVert, gone.
And then give me the second one, because this is to your point, and this is what we've seen now over the last year.
And what happened to culture? Wasn't that a big word we're throwing around? What happened to that?
BS.
All the good guys are gone.
So,
Harden, by the way, he won. He's out.
He did win.
He read the situation and said, I got to get the hell out of here.
That is the day that everything changed.
Agreed. And that was when you knew. That was when you knew that it was over. I hated doing that, bringing in Harden. Again, Kyrie, questionable. But once they made Harden, I agree with you, Jerry, it was over. And then you know why Evan flipped out, why you were upset about it. And then people were trying to make it like Harden, though, was the problem. It was the trade for Harden
100%.
That was the problem.
100%.
And then Harden saw the room when he got here and said, this is a disaster for whatever reason. He didn't come out and say it, but if you use a little common
sense. No, he was a disaster.
No.
He didn't play.
No, but he didn't like the situation with, well, what do you mean? With Kyrie, did he play? At least Harden was hurt.
No, but James Harden had a chance. He had a chance to take that team under his control at one point, and he quit. He quit on that road trip, and he quit on the team. Because Durant was out, he didn't want, I don't know, he didn't want the pressure of being the lone superstar out there. All you needed him to do was toe the line, win a couple of games, and as soon as Durant got back, things would have been okay. He quit.
I think Harden looked at it, and now again, I don't know this, I'm just using a little common sense here from afar. I think Harden looked at this situation and said, I can't play with Kyrie. This is a mess of a situation. I need to get out of here and go somewhere where I'm comfortable. Think about Harden opting out of a $46 million deal. I know he's going to get more from the Sixers.
Sure.
But he's not going to get a mega deal.
I don't know what he's going to get.
It would have been similar. But Harden at this point in his career where he didn't look like the same player, whether it's with the Nets or the Sixers.
He was terrible.
Turning down $46 million because he's going to get.
He's got his pal there running the show.
Well, I'm just saying. Kyrie could have done the same thing, right? But nobody would give him that long-term deal. Nobody wants
but
to give him.
Again, the X factor is Daryl Morey. You don't think James Harden has an assurance of some semblance that he's going to get a 3-year deal? Even if
he's not getting 46 per year.
No, but all right, no. But what if he gets 3 years, $100 million?
Right, which I would assume he's going to get.
Well, why? Yeah, so you're right. Making less this year, but overall you're getting $100 million over the next few, as opposed to 1 year you don't play so great this year. Then he's in Kyrie's situation next year. No one's going to pay him that kind of money.
Yeah, I just think that Harden is in a much better situation, and he knows it. And he won. He got out of this mess. What if he stayed here, Jared, and was like, yeah, you know what, I'm all in. And then all of a sudden this blows up because Kyrie's unhappy. KD's like, well, you know what, if Kyrie's unhappy.
But what if Harden, forget Kyrie for a second. What if Harden and Durant are at their tip-top shape?
Right, but
you can win with that.
To me, the thing that changed with Durant is that the way the organization treated Kyrie.
Which I don't understand.
Well, that's his best friend.
No. I know that. But I also understand when I listen to the podcast, when you say it's a man's business, I'm not getting involved, you can't then all of a sudden be like, oh, that's my guy. You can't on one hand say, I've got nothing to say, and then all of a sudden say, now I've got a lot to say.
Well, maybe you could say, I just don't like the way that the the front office, the owner, is treating him, and I just want to go somewhere else. I mean,
how have they treated him badly?
Look, I think they shouldn't have brought him in, so I give him credit for saying, you know what, you can't be a part-time player. Hey, you know what, we've had enough. We're not committing to you long-term. I'm not giving you that contract that you want. So basically, screw you. You either opt in and we'll deal with it, or opt out and see you later. I don't care. Finally! But the problem is, now in that process, maybe they turned off Kevin Durant, and Durant, like the baby that he is, he wants out.
They gave him 4 years. They gave him everything they wanted. The Nets, to me, are not at fault for this specific day. This is all on Durant.
This is a great day, Irving. Isn't it, Jer?
No.
This
no,
is a
it's
great
not,
day,
it's not.
Isn't it? Oh, all it's those not. Net fans. Jer, no. Earmuffs
and
here.
It's not about Kyrie. It's about the Durant thing. That's what bothers me, Kyrie.
I get it. Earmuffs for a second because I'm going to get nasty. All you Nets fans who wanted to taunt the Knicks fan. Oh, the Knicks fan is jealous. Oh, the Knicks this, the Knicks that. You think the Knicks fan is jealous now? Where KD begs out, they ruin the franchise. It's an embarrassment of epic proportions. I mean, you think back in New York sports history, this is it. They couldn't even. Jer, they got swept. They couldn't even get to an Eastern Conference final, let alone championship. A disastrous 3 years, and it's over before you could blink. The superstar, Nets world, Nets this, Nets that. See ya! And I do think they'll be better off because of it.
I do too.
But I do enjoy those fans now taking this one on the chin, talking trash, with nothing to show for it. All right. Sorry, Jerry.
Well, No. They will have something to show for it at some point because they're going to trade. You're going to trade Durant. I mean, Sean Marks, according to every report I saw, is if you want. Remember this. They don't have to trade him. What, is he going to sit out and not play?
Right.
He's got a 4-year deal, fully guaranteed. And Sean Marks, according to the things I read, and I don't know what's true and what's not anymore, but according to what I read, two superstars and draft picks to start. So. This is not going to be a bad team next year. The problem is
they're
not going
like
to have
the Knicks.
No, they'll be better than that.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they'll be better than
I'm
that.
I'm not so sure.
Well, you still have Julius Randle last time I checked.
Jalen Brunson, baby!
Great. Hang your hat on that. Good player, good move. Good move.
I'm just kidding. But I do think the Knicks will be
more.
Whatever. I don't know
and
what
I do think R.J. Barrett is about to be a superstar. I love R.J. Barrett. But until you tell me Julius Randle is going to come back and play like he played 2 years ago, 2 seasons ago, good luck.
Well, I want to see the return. I want to see what Brooklyn gets for Kyrie.
Correct.
Obviously, like you said, with KD, if it's not just about, and by the way, we're talking about the Harden stuff. How about the draft picks that Houston has now where they control basically the Nets, next five first-round picks? Yep. That's got to be a situation where obviously they need to get first-round picks
hence
back.
Hence why if you're trading Kevin Durant, you need a haul back for him. Not just picks, but players. And I mean players that are going to step in and win. And you're going to have that opportunity because it's like, I don't want to call it Herschel Walker, but it might be just like that.
But the problem that they have is that, and I get what you're saying, he's got a 4-year guaranteed contract, but when he starts saying, well, I prefer this team and that team, those teams already, the Nets come out and say, or at least according to reports, and by the way, who the hell knows what's true, what's not, because there's misinformation all over the place. But according to reports, the Nets say, well, we're not trading Durant to the Suns without Devin Booker. And there's no way the Suns are going to do that.
Hold firm.
Right, of course, but then what's the Nets' leverage?
Leverage. You have a contract.
Right, but they could say we could trade him anywhere, but other teams will be like, yeah, but he doesn't want to come here, so why am I giving up X amount of picks and my star player if he doesn't want to come here?
Well, they're going to have to figure that out, and he's going to have to figure it out. Maybe he doesn't want to play ever again.
Right, and then
then they both lose.
So here's what I would do. You're exactly right.
And I don't
right.
believe that.
I would forget about the return right now if I'm the Nets. I draw the line in the sand and say, you know what? You've held us hostage long enough. I don't give a crap what you want. I'm trading you for the package that I want. Otherwise, Yuri Rand is sitting out.
Agreed.
I don't care. End of story.
Just because his preferred destination is Phoenix doesn't mean that's where he's going.
Matter of fact, I tell him, you're not going to Phoenix or Miami. I don't even care if they gave me the best package. You'll go where we're telling you to go. You want to request a trade? Good. I'll trade you when I'm ready to trade you, where I'm ready to trade you. That's what I would have told him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We are off and rolling and running and stumbling and God. This one, there's not many things sports-wise that have caught me off guard. This one really did. Not Kyrie, not even the Harden thing didn't really catch me off guard because there were rumblings back in the day, you know, when that. But this really caught me off guard yesterday. Anyhow.
Kicking the groin.
Yes. I saw Evan last night at the comedy show. He just looked like a beaten man.
You know how bad it was? I always tease Evan. Who doesn't love to tease Evan?
I'm a loser.
I actually had to lay off. Yeah, I was going to text him. I was like, you know what? I feel bad for this. This is so bad. I don't want to be that guy. I almost did, but I didn't.
Oh, terrible. Anyhow.
At least you have Ben Simmons.
So how about the fact that the first thing I thought was Ben Simmons in that stupid suit sitting on the bench. Yeah,
his stupid outfit.
He's the lone guy left.
Yeah. He's ready to go. He tweets out, what did he say yesterday? He tweeted out something or Instagram post.
Feeling great or something?
Oh, yeah, ready to go. An hour later, Durant's out of here.
Oh, that was him. I thought the Nets put that out.
No, it was him. I think it was him on Instagram. The one thing, I said this to Evan, too, last night, and we met a bunch of great people last night, which was fun, and everybody wanted to talk about the Nets and, you know, Durant and whatever. I feel bad for the guy who's running their Twitter feed, because you got Durant requesting a trade, and then this guy's like, hey, welcome Royce freaking O'Neal.
Woo!
I mean, come on. Royce O'Neal. Okay, nice, but...
Oh, man.
Yeah, great. Anyhow, Chris Lopresti is here. He's got the details of everything that happened yesterday. What's up, Chris?
All right, powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. Also brought to you by Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games on your phone. So you mentioned, Evan, we'll play this once, the extended cut, because this was the first thing I did when I saw the... Is it Shams or Shams? Can we decide?
I think it's Shams Charania.
Yeah, I thought it was Shams Charania, but whatever. In any event, his tweet about Durant requesting the trade shortly before 3 o'clock. So I was home. I saw it. I fired up the Odyssey app, the fan stream, Carton and Roberts to hear Evan's live reaction just as Craig was going to a caller.
Oh, my God. No, hold on.
We have
We have breaking news that has just killed my soul.
Oh, my God.
We have breaking news that has destroyed my soul. So I'm going to repeat it to you.
Destroyed your soul?
Craig, I'm going to tell you the news, and then you can do what you
want.
I'm going to die on the air. I'm going to die on the air.
Hold on. What's the sport?
I don't want to say it. Let me just say it. Can I just say it?
Let's play a little game.
No, I don't want to play a game.
What's the sport? Basketball?
Yeah. I just died. I'm dead.
Big story?
Monstrous. I'm dead. I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done. Can we go home?
Is it Brooklyn Net related?
Yep.
Have they traded Durant?
Kevin Durant has requested a trade out of Brooklyn.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about.
Why?
What a great day!
Why?
And you can imagine how the rest of his day went. Jerry was part of it last night. Though I will say, I stayed with them for a while. After the initial shock and depression wore off, he quickly went into GM mode and was starting to try and figure out, hey, what can we get back for him?
A lot.
Yes, exactly. What they might get for KD and Kyrie as well, because the hell now would they keep Kyrie, right?
Well,
Kyrie's going to L.A.
It doesn't. Yeah, I know. I'm just ready to get a shot.
That seems like that's about as.
Yeah, but how? That's going to get back Westbrook?
It's less complicated now, though, right? Because it's just the 1 year and he didn't do the sign and trade situation.
Correct.
Yes.
And I think it's actually very doable. That's the one guy I don't
Would
want
you that. Ever, if you're the Nets.
God, I don't want Russell Westbrook.
Can somebody have some gumption over there? My goodness. If you're the Nets, would you trade Kyrie Irving to the Lakers?
What am I getting back?
I'm saying no. Enough.
No,
you
why?
You held us hostage. I'm calling the shots.
So
not going where you want.
Let
End
him go ruin
story.
Them.
I don't want to trade him where he wants to go.
Okay.
Is that spite, though?
Yes, it is spite.
Don't you want to find the best deal?
They embarrassed the Nets franchise.
But you're missing the point you made.
What?
About 8 minutes ago. No one wants him.
Yeah, I know that.
You've got a team that actually wants him.
What about Dallas? I heard about them yesterday, too. Now
send him to Dallas.
Now that Brunson's
That's
gone.
Fine, too.
You're not getting a proper return
for Spencer
the talent.
Dinwiddie?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, but I'd rather.
I mean,
do that.
I would welcome that so quickly.
I'm not trading him to the Lakers. Under no circumstance am I trading him to the Lakers.
No, I understand, but to your point, nobody wants him. So you have a limited amount of teams you can trade him to.
Right.
So if Dallas is interested or LA is interested, fine. What's the best return I'm going to get? Mm. I don't care if it's where he wants to go. I need to worry about what we need.
I would take less of a return just to make sure he's not happy, even if it's for 1 year. So, I would take less of a return.
But no one wants
Spite.
Him.
Yeah. Spite.
And you're missing your point.
No, I get it.
Like, if it was me, send him to Sacramento. Guess right. what? They don't want him.
Right. No, I get it. I get it. But that's what I'm saying. So you're telling me Kyrie's going to, again, get what he wants. They leave the Nets in shambles, burning flames, and the guy is going to go play.
Here's a little secret. Yeah. Kyrie doesn't know what he wants.
Yeah, well, I know.
Every step of the way, it turns out to be a bad place for him.
He'll go burn the Lakers to the ground,
that's
too.
I'm sure there, right? he would.
Yeah.
They're right. old and, oh, please.
Yes, let me play this back, because we did play this earlier in the week, and I know Jerry went and listened to it and was trying to take some stock in it. This was Durant from his ETC podcast last Friday, as he was keeping an eye on the Kyrie situation.
I'll just kind of let things play out and see what happens, but, you know, keep the regular contact up with Kai and, you know, see what happens, man. I'm just, it's something that's so much out of my control that I don't want to be a part of it, you know what I mean?
So, reading some of the stuff yesterday, it seems almost like the Kyrie thing was a test from Durant to the Nets. I read that he wanted them to give him the max extension, and once he didn't, that's kind of what triggered all of this. Who knows what to believe
right now? That's speculation, right? That's,
yes, yeah, okay. 100%. I mean, again,
it makes sense.
Various reports, you know, everyone, of course, wanted to make the connection of, as soon as Kyrie opted in, KD wanted to get the hell out of there. But actually, it sounds like the opposite might be true. You even had, I think, Windhorst on ESPN, who's been on top of this stuff, said they still would like to play together if possible. Right. Imagine them trading both guys to a team somehow.
I don't think that's possible.
But yeah.
And just, I think for me, and the Kyrie thing, you know, great player. I'm not saying, but he didn't play enough to care. This guy was out when he was healthy. He played. He played every single night, aside from when he tweaked the whatever. I forget what the injury was in the middle of the season this year where he missed a month. But he was out there every night, and I loved watching him. I never watched him play every night when he was in Golden State or Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And I just marveled at the way he played.
Great player.
This sucks.
Yeah. He's soft as anything, but a great player.
God, this sucks. And I bought in. I bought in, not on Irving. I bought in on Durant. He signed the 4-year deal. I'm like, this guy's here. So whatever they do, however things turn out, he's the centerpiece. And now he's not.
And his legacy as a player is always going to be one that, you know, he's a great player. However, it's also going to be that the guy's been an embarrassment, leaving Oklahoma City, going to, you know, ride the coattails of an already established Warriors team, coming to Brooklyn, blowing that thing up, now going wherever he's going to go. Either he's going to latch on and try to win another championship, or, I mean, I guess he's going to be stuck losing while watching, and I do think this has a factor, or this was a factor, watching the Warriors win a championship without him. You don't think that bothered him?
No, I don't.
I guarantee you that bothered him.
I don't think he cares.
I
watch him and listen to these things. I don't.
He care about then?
I thought just basketball and him and himself and business.
So then why would he made a decision. He chose Brooklyn.
I know. And now he's choosing to leave. I get it. I don't understand.
Chose Brooklyn. Chose the coach. Got Kyrie here. What else am I missing? The Harden thing. It's like a long list of stuff that they finagled.
What else do you want? Please, what else do you want?
Got Kenny Atkinson out of here. Yeah. Got Steve Nash in. And here we are.
Well, that was a mistake, too. And not fire Atkinson. I would have fired him, too. It was the hiring.
Nash.
Yeah.
Right.
The Brooklyn Nets suck.
Yeah, agreed.
A couple of other things here. Woj says Durant made his request directly to owner Joe Tsai on Thursday, and that the Suns and the Heat are two teams on his wish list. In the end, Durant and Kyrie played a combined 58 games together, including the playoffs across the three seasons, and just the one playoff series win to show for
it. Remember that game against the Bucks, that series that Durant put up?
Mm-hmm. Those were the days, weren't
they?
What
could have been? Sal's just loving it this morning.
Honestly, it's just, I don't even hate the Nets. I hate what they did. There's a big difference. People think, oh, you net hater. No, I didn't hate the Nets prior to that. They had, to me, a nice foundation after coming out of the hell that they were put in with the Durant-Pierce situation.
And they still had it.
And they
traded for Harden.
Yeah, they did it without without having top draft picks, drafted and developed nicely,
sure
built
did.
That foundation, sold their soul to bring in KD and Kyrie, and then, as you said, the nail in the coffin was the Harden stuff. But me, personally, I didn't like that they sold their soul and handed over the keys to the franchise, which was in decent shape before those guys got here, and now they're going to be back in shambles again.
Lost in the shuffle, Patty Mills, Nick Claxton, both re-signing, and the Nets also traded a first-round pick to the Jazz for O'Neal. Oh,
what
yeah.
What first-round pick did they even have? 2035?
I think they had three different ones. Jesus. This was the lesser. It was whatever they have. It was the lowest, like the least exciting one, I guess.
I mean, Houston owns an X5, so it wasn't one of those.
They had, I guess, from the Harden. I lost track.
Yeah,
but I saw yesterday, whatever of the ones that they have, it was the one that was going to be the least value. So
I hate you.
For what it is. Thank, was that Evan again?
That's Evan.
I love you, though, Evan. I know you're mad. It's okay. All right, the Knicks, the Jalen Brunson rumors become reality. Four-year, $104 million deal, including a player option for the final season. His dad is with the Knicks now. Leon Rose, I guess, is his godfather, is the rumor there. And his Leon's son, Sam, is Brunson's agent.
Can I ask just a serious basketball question?
Yes.
I'm not picking on the Knicks at all, because I think he's a good player, good move, fine. Not making him a championship team, but it's a good player to add.
Bing bong.
Can you make the case, if you're Dallas, that the Knicks tampered this whole time through? Guys showing up at Maverick games, hiring his dad.
Come on.
His son's the agent.
That narrative on Twitter.
Like, come on.
It's hard, right?
It's to that level. Yet to a point where did anybody think, all those reports, it was comical this week. Did anybody think Brunson wasn't signing with the Knicks?
Right.
I mean, do the math. If they couldn't get him, they might as well fold up shop. They hire his father. Leon Rose's son represents him.
And they're at Maverick games.
There's got to be something off
there. Yeah, I agree.
That was bizarre.
And then canceled the Mavericks meeting yesterday. So
yeah.
Thanks. Never even had a chance.
And where are these freaking reports that come out? This is what I mean. It's ridiculous. Oh, he's meeting with the Mavericks and the Heat. Apparently,
I saw that too yesterday.
Yeah, so
yes.
Nobody. Where do these things come from?
Don't know. Also, the Knicks bringing in center Isaiah Hartenstein on a 2-year deal worth $16 million plus. We've done a lot on the basketball, so I won't rip through all these other extensions. Basically, everyone got. I think Trae Young yesterday said everyone got the bag today. That's kind of the gist of what went on. Millions and millions of dollars thrown around for some of the marquee players around the league. Let's get to the Yankees now. Quiet night for them in Houston, dropping their makeup game with the Astros.
Presley sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him. Carpenter strikes out. Presley has a 1-2-3 ninth inning. He strikes out two and saves the 2-1 victory. Fireworks inside Minute Maid Park for the Astros win over the Yankees.
That, of course, is Sweeney Murdy on his 52nd birthday getting his first crack.
Oh, his birthday? Really?
Yes, and he did give the number on the air, so that's why I know it's okay for me to say.
Nice.
First crack on play-by-play duties last night. He was in for John Sterling, and the Yankees went quietly 1-2-3 in the ninth with pitch hitter Matt Carpenter whiffing there to end it 2-1 the final, as the Stros were two late blown leads away from going 9-0 against the Mets and the Yanks over the last week and a half. Stros have taken 3 out of 5 from Aaron Boone's club thus far, but the Yankee offense quiet for much of it.
We'll learn from all this and hopefully gain important information from facing their guys.
There was a lot of hopefully from him discussing the future for his team against the Stros.
By the way, that remind you of anything yesterday?
Yankees Astros and them going meekly in the playoffs.
Just like 2017.
Yes.
You're not going to win if you can only score one run a game against these guys.
That is correct. Yes.
And I don't care about signs or computers or monitors or banging on drums. Yeah. You're not going to win if you score one run.
I would agree. And especially Yankee pitching again was pretty good for the most part.
So you know where Severino made one mistake? The inning where they got the double by Bregman.
Yeah.
He had two outs and he had 0-2 on, I forget who it was, right before, who was up before Bregman, whoever that was. He walks him on.
Gurriel, maybe?
It wasn't Gurriel.
Was it the kid? Manichevic?
Tucker? Might have been Tucker. Tall guy.
Tucker was trying
to steal home.
Right, exactly.
It was 0-2.
Yes.
And it's that was the
Did you see Tucker trying to steal home?
Yeah.
Do you think that was Bush League or what?
No.
Where Severino's
Bush League?
He's trying to. Well,
trying to steal a run.
He's trying to fix his
Major League Baseball. There's nothing.
Timeout wasn't called. I assumed it was.
That was a little.
Stop.
It's a little questionable.
Great reaction, and he makes he's got the hat and the glove in his left hand.
What's going on here? Right. Exactly. I'm trying to figure out which pitch to call. This guy's stealing all.
And an excellent job by Trevino getting the shin guard in the way there. Pretty.
Yep. I did hear on your post-game show that you hosted.
Yes.
I heard when you threw down for the
Susan?
The Aaron Boone. No. Aaron Boone's press conference. Yeah. One of the reporters was like, you know, they took advantage of you not paying attention. Yeah. And Aaron Boone's like, how? We got him out.
Right, exactly.
Actually, the opposite of taking advantage of it.
Yes, that's right. All right, so these two teams will play a day-night doubleheader in Houston coming out of the All-Star break July 21st. Anthony Rizzo, solo homer in the sixth, his 21st. That was it, other than four singles and three walks.
How friggin' good has he been, huh? I was joking around calling them the Bronze Bombers because they didn't get Freeman or Olsen. They had to settle for Rizzo. This dude's been unbelievable.
He has. Very productive. You know, the batting average, not great, but people don't care as much about that. He's come up with some huge hits, and obviously the power number. He's on pace to just destroy his career high in home runs. I think he's on pace for 44 of them now. Yankees struck out 11 times. We mentioned Luis Severino. Pretty good game overall. The one pitch, an 0-1 changeup to Alex Bregman with the bases loaded in the third, which he put off the left field wall for a two-run double. Sevy went 6, 3 hits, couple of walks. He ends up with the loss. Tough squad to face.
I mean, this is a good team that doesn't strike out that much. So, you know, you have to go for contact, you know, throw good pitches, you know, because you're not gonna get 10 strikeouts.
And consider the Astros, you're playing without a couple of starters as well. Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena, who were injured in that collision at Citi Field on Wednesday. But both guys did fly home with the team, and they were on the bench last night. Struggles for Joey Gallo continue. 0 for his last 20. Six now, and in the month of June, he hit 138 with 32 strikeouts. Aaron Judge, Judge slumping a bit as well, 6 for his last 37. And how about this one before we move on? Forget a winning streak. The Astros haven't taken an at-bat while trailing now since the third inning against the White Sox on June 18th. So they suffered the two walk-off losses against the Yankees. Other than that, they have had the lead in every game.
Good play.
What's that?
Is that good?
That is very good. Yes. Yeah. Yes,
I'll tell you what, I'm still not afraid. I think the Yankees are beating them. I would be, and now it would be a disaster if they lost again to the Astros, but I think the Yankees ultimately are better. They should have home field advantage, which will be huge. Postseason, the Astros bullpen, I don't think is that good. I think the Yankees are better. And they're going to make moves. I trust that Cashman is going to make, you know, whether it's getting a center fielder for defensive purposes, maybe getting a tops-end starter. I'm not worried about the Astros. They're good, and they're the only legit threat in the American League. I think the Yankees are going to beat them.
Yankee road trip continues in Cleveland, 1-3 with the Guardians tonight. Garrett Cole, Aaron Civale, pregame coverage on the Fan 6:30, and Aroldis Chapman is expected to come off of the IL. The Mets happy to say goodbye to the Astros. Much more palatable interleague series with the Rangers beginning tonight at Citi Field. Chris Bassett and Glenn Otto at 7:10. It's an Apple TV game tonight, so if you don't have that, flip over to 880 because apparently Howie Rose is a little under the weather, so Ed Coleman is coming out of retirement to do a little pinch hitting
action. He did a game a couple weeks ago, too.
Yes, but he's going to do another. I think he's doing the whole series. He was on with Jody Mack last night and mentioned he's coming down to New York.
Fitting on the birthday.
Exactly.
Or anniversary. 35th.
Yeah, that's great.
One original subbing for another, right?
Love it.
There you go. What else can I tell you? Max Scherzer's rehab is done. He will be back with the Mets next time through. And the Post reports Jacob DeGrom could pitch Sunday night in a rehab start.
Nice.
For single A Port St. Lucie. You've got USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, which is like that. We got the news.
Like, where did that come from?
It was before the Durant stuff. Then by yesterday evening.
Ratified.
USC tweeted out, it's confirmed.
I got an email from the Big Ten, the statement. I'm like, wow, this is really happening.
So very fast. Look, I'm not a college football expert, but I do know enough to know that there is no Pac-12 without USC or UCLA, whatever. What's next? Like,
I don't know. I really don't know.
Where are we going?
Don't know.
In college football?
You now have, I thought the Big Ten was a super conference already. Now,
it's going to be three conferences, right? Isn't that what we're looking at? ACC, SEC, Big Ten?
Yeah, do I have that wrong? This is nuts. I mean, you're going to have 16 teams now on the Big Ten, and you're going to add USC and UCLA.
Right, but then what happens to the schools that are only relevant because they're playing these teams in those conferences?
Don't know.
The lesser conferences.
They're going to have to figure it out, and I read that their TV package is up after the 23-24 season because this starts playing 24-25 Pac-12.
Oh, boy.
And the Big 12 is coming after Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That would be
nuts. But I look at it this way. Assuming Rutgers hasn't fired me by then, I got trips to California coming my way.
Yeah. Lucky you, right?
Good time absolutely. For Rutgers to be in the Big schedule, 10.
Man. Yeah, absolutely.
Very good.
All right, 10 minutes in front of 7 on this holiday Friday. It is Sal and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. On the day after Kevin Durant says, I've had enough of Brooklyn. Awesome. Really. Great day. Great day. 877-337-6666. All kidding aside, I know we mentioned it, but we have not exactly discuss the Nick thing at all. So Jalen Brunson, Isaiah Hartenstein, so far, this is what they've done. Just your take on, you know, Brunson, you're the Nick guy. I think it's just a solid move. It doesn't, as I said the other day, doesn't exactly move the needle. I don't know that that makes them a top four or five team in the conference. But, you know, it's a position of need. It has been for years and years and years and years, as we know. It's something I think they've solidified. To me, the question is, okay, now what?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is having a point guard, like you said. They desperately needed the point guard. So from that aspect, it's going to be much better basketball to watch. Are they a top team in the East? No, but having a point guard, if he's good, and, you know, Brunson appears to be a good one, he should make everybody else better. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. Obi Toppin, you know, assuming these guys are still here, Jay, who knows what the trades or whatever, but how much is Obi Toppin going to grow? How much better is Emmanuel Quickley going to be playing off the ball? The Knicks have been shoving guys down our throat at the point guard position that aren't point guards. Alec Burks, Emmanuel Quickley, these guys aren't true point guards. Obviously, Kemba Walker, you know, that was a disaster. So now that you have a true point guard in Jalen Brunson, it should make everybody else better. I'm curious to see how it's going to fit with Julius Randle. Again, assuming that Julius Randle's here, but they'll be better. They'll be more watchable this year. They should be a playoff team. So what? Big deal. Like, all right, what's the end game
here?
I know. But that's the problem that a lot of teams have. Even these, you know, teams with star players. Look at Utah. And who knows what's going to happen with Donovan Mitchell.
Sure.
And even if the Knicks, let's just say that the Knicks went out there and got Donovan Mitchell. Okay. So what? Like, what are they now? Maybe they're a 5 or a 6 seed, or maybe if whatever. Best case scenario, 4. They're not championship caliber. So the only way to do it, look at all the teams that have had success. The only way to really do it is to draft well and develop. That's how you have to do it. Whether you need to hit on a top 5, top 10 pick, or in the later part of the round, whatever, you need to draft. That's how good teams are built in the NBA. There's no real way around it. And the Knicks have sucked at drafting outside of RJ Barrett. And even RJ Barrett, to me, has major limitations as far as getting to that next. Look, if he could shoot, he'd be a star player. He hasn't proven that he could shoot consistently yet. So what does it do for me? Nothing.
No, but that's the next step for him. And I think, you know, watching him, you know, I think we forget. Isn't he still 21?
Yeah, he's young. And he's gotten better every year.
Every year, the first 2 years, he's gotten better and better. And I think if you're talking about developing a consistent, I mean, he can, you know, I mean, all these guys can shoot to a certain extent. But if you're talking consistently and kind of raising that shooting percentage and being a threat from deep and all that stuff, and not just a driver and a slasher, if he takes that next step, superstar.
Right.
He's a guy who, I don't have it in front of me. You tell me, 22, 23 points a game? I felt like every night.
He could score because he could get to the rim.
Yes.
And he's gotten better at free throw shooting. Here's the problem. Look at what happened the pick before him. And that was really the year that the Knicks got screwed. For the first time, I remember feeling, and I was doing the overnight shows or whatever, you know, on a part-time basis, saying the light is at the end of the tunnel. The Knicks have cleared cap space. They're going to make a run. You know, at the time, it was either KD, Kyrie, whatever. Plus, they're going to have what should be the number one pick, which was either going to be Zion or Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks end up getting the bad luck in the lottery. They fall to number 3, of course. They don't get any superstar players. And now they're, you know, look, RJ Barrett, nice player, and he's getting better. And I love his attitude more than anything else because he wants to be here. Got a great work ethic. Impossible not to like RJ Barrett, but he's not Ja Morant. And that's part of it where, yeah, the Knicks have sucked and they've made horrible decisions. They've also been unfortunate.
Yes, agreed.
Like, Ja Morant's a legitimate franchise-changing star.
But here's
RJ Barrett's not that.
But two things here. A, Zion Williamson has done nothing.
Right.
Like, nothing.
Well, I wanted Ja Morant anyway. Me, personally.
I know, but you talked about the 1-2-3 and you got screwed being 3. If you were 1, you were taking Zion Williamson. Maybe things would have been different here. I don't know. I can't play that game. What I do know is he's been a complete zero.
Bust, right.
Where he's been so far because he hasn't played. The Ja Morant thing is fascinating because, yes, he is unbelievable.
I know they're a good team.
I agree. They're better without him.
I know that
they're
a good team.
And that's not me from what I'm watching. That's statistically, that's record-wise, that's everything. They won, I pulled up the standings because I actually forgot they were the 2 seed. I knew they were in the top 4. They won 56 games last year. He missed a lot of them. They won a lot of the games he wasn't there. So that's a well-put-together team. I look
through
at
the
Barrett,
draft again. Right?
Barrett's 21, who is already averaging 20-plus points per game and has taken a step each year.
Why can't he turn out to be the best of these three? You don't know that yet.
I mean,
it's not written yet.
Maybe.
The problem last year was Julius Randle. If Julius Randle plays the way he played the year before and Barrett played the way he played last year, that's a damn good team.
Right, but the other problem is Randle's style of play going to be conducive to having, he doesn't shoot the ball well. He shot it well 2 years ago.
Yes, he did.
For a guy of his position, you know, not a guard, obviously, a forward, whatever. So he shot the three ball okay, but you need a star player to be able to create his own shot, be able to knock down a three. In today's game, Randle is more of a mid-range guy, an inside guy. So is your star player being, and by the way, he was thriving as being an on-the-ball forward. That's not going to happen now. So what exactly is Randle's role, and is having one of your star players in that role, is that conducive to winning in today's? It's a guard-driven league. That's the point.
Yes, it is. Guard-driven league. And that's why getting Brunson, while it's not an incredibly sexy move, it's a solid move.
But I do think his impact on making other guys better, Emmanuel Quickly, like I said, he's supposed to be a shooting guard. He may turn out to be one of their best shooters, and you have him off the ball. Now maybe you could get him in a better situation. Obi Toppin, same thing, and I'm curious to see how it works with Barrett and Randle and the others.
Joe in New Milford. Good morning, Joe. What's up?
Hey. Good morning, guys. I honestly think that the Knicks don't need another huge player right now because they don't know what they have. They have young guys like Quickly. They have Obi Toppin. And, if you take Phoenix, for example, they didn't know that Devin Booker was a star until you, give him playing time. And Tom Thibodeau doesn't give enough playing time. I think Brunson's a good distributor. You let him start giving the ball to some of these young guys. You move away from, you have to play the veterans. You move Randle and see what you can get for him. And they really need to re-sign the center, Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And then they might.
You need a ring protector. And
well, they signed this dude from the Clippers, and the thing that I like about him, he seems to be more of an offensive player where he could pass the ball and shoot a little bit better than Mitchell Robinson. Robinson, yeah, he's a good defender around the rim. So what? Their defense still stinks, and he can't do anything offensively.
All right, 6:57.
What's the matter? You all right? You come to the realization the Knicks are better than the Nets?
The basket? No, I'm not going there yet. Let's see what the Nets turn out to be. You don't know what the Nets are.
The Nets could still end up
being a top 5-16.
They're an embarrassment.
Except they've got one of the best players on the planet ready to take off, and you're going to get a haul back for him.
Well, we'll see.
So let's hang out there.
If you could, right now, if you could trade places franchise for franchise.
I don't want to be part of the Knicks. Because they've been a model franchise for the last 20 years.
I'm not talking about anything other than the rosters right now. If you were building a team, if you were taking over
this very set, I still have Kevin Durant on the roster.
All right, but as I'm saying, right now.
Still taking the Nets. Until Kevin Durant's gone and they get nothing back for him, why would I not take him?
Well, because the Knicks, you know what you have, like you said, with the Nets.
Yeah, nothing.
The Nets, you have superstars that want out. You're dismantled.
What do I have? 37-45. I'll pass. All right, 6:58, 1 hour done. When we come back on the other side, we will reveal our surprise guest that will join us at 8 a.m. It is the 35th anniversary of the birth of WFAN. It's Sal and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.